T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, we enter the final hour of the program, final hour of a short week. Of course, we were off on Memorial Day, but we're back at it again this coming Monday. We'll be on 12 to 3, and we got John Maffey going to join us on Monday on the program. We're going to talk about the kids eligible from San Diego for the Major League Baseball draft. We were talking with Kyle Glazer in the last segment. We've got several players that are playing college baseball. You know, I look at Casey Schmidt at San Diego State, who I know very well, maybe get Casey on before the draft. And, you know, he's projected to go a late second, early third round. Alika Williams, who is a good-looking shortstop out of Rancho Bernardo, been playing the last 3 years over at Arizona State. He may have worked his way into the first round. We're going to be talking with John Maffey on Monday and talk about some of the high school players. You know, there are a lot of good high school players in San Diego this year, the Jordan Thompsons of the world, the Alonzo Richardsons, Kyle Casper, Kevin Sim up at Torrey Pines, my alma mater. There are some really good players out there, and I don't know if they're going to get drafted because you're only going to go 5 rounds. And from what I hear talking to baseball people last night on the phone, next year the draft may only go to 20 rounds. It'll probably never, ever go back to 40 rounds. So we'll talk with John Maffey on Monday. We're also going to try to track down Bodie DeSilva from Scorebook Live. I saw Bodie walking on the boardwalk up in Cardiff last weekend, and he goes, "Hey, Coach, I came out with my all-time San Diego football team." And so I looked at it, and it was good. And I also told Bodie, you know what, I'm going to punch a hole in a few of your players that you got on there. Not that they weren't good players, but there are some other guys maybe he forgot. So we're going to try to track him down. We've had him on. He's talked about basketball and baseball and done a really good job with both. And he did a good job with football. But there are some players that I think should have been maybe under a little bit more heavy consideration. So we'll talk with John Maffey and Bodie DeSilva on Monday on the program. Yet to come today on our program, Barbara Bree, city council member from District 1. Earlier today, if you missed it, the San Diego City Council unanimously approved moving forward with the purchase and sale agreement for the Mission Valley land to San Diego State, and the sale expected to be finalized sometime in July. They still have a couple of hurdles to jump over, but nothing major. It shouldn't be anything major that could possibly sabotage this deal, but hopefully they'll get it done in June. They'll finalize and go through escrow in July, and then bingo, San Diego State can get a shovel in the ground as early as August. So very excited about that. I've yet to hear from an Aztec fan. I haven't heard from one Aztec fan that's gotten fired up about this. You still want to drive to SDCCU Stadium and play in front of, you know, a 27,000 and a 70,000-seat stadium? Love to hear from an Aztec fan. And, of course, our big topic today, and we've had some interesting names. Who's the biggest jerk you've met that was a pro athlete? I mentioned Danny Jackson, a left-handed pitcher who spent very little time in San Diego because he was at the end of his career and he couldn't get my grandmother out. Okay, Danny Jackson was my guy. We've heard Drew Brees. We've heard Rod Carew. You know, we've had a few other gentlemen. Ryan Leaf, obviously, was an easy one. So Martin Brodeur, the old goalie He got nailed by our caller, Josh, up in Ramona. So love to hear from you. 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Again, Barbara Bree going to join us at 235. Braden, let's get to our topic. How do you think the American sports leagues are doing in handling coming back to playing? And, you know, right now I'd say probably not too good.
I would say very poor. Very, very poor, especially with a lot of European leagues doing a lot better and getting back sooner, and they have a way higher death per capita than the United States does. As much as people don't want to acknowledge that, that is straight up a fact. And a lot of people don't want to. They just like looking at numbers. They don't like looking at per capita or percentages when it doesn't go in their favor of their propaganda they like to spew. But based on factual evidence, the countries over in Europe have been hit way harder than the United States in terms of death per capita, and they're getting their leagues going way faster than we are. I don't know what our leagues are doing and what's taking them so long. Obviously, baseball is in a situation where about money, which is fair, because the NBA and the NHL, look, I mean, their players want to come back because they've already gotten paid. You know, for the majority, I mean, they're not getting paid in full, but they got the majority of their money already. I know some guys had to give some money back, but at this point in time, I mean, the NBA and the NHL, they're trying to go win a championship, and they're trying to get that going. I don't know why it's taken them so long to get to this point, especially the NBA announcing today they want to start July 31st. I mean, that's 2 months away, Coach, and by that time, who knows what kind of a status we're going to be in terms of you know, how good we're going to be in or how bad. Obviously, I think we're trending in the right direction in terms of you know, good news. So, I mean, to me, I mean, the July 31st start date, I think, is kind of I think it's a little ridiculous when it comes to the NBA in particular.
The NBA, they've been off the ladder for me. I mean, I just don't know what Adam Silver's looking to get done right now. And again, I think, you know, one thing about the NBA, I think, opposed to the NFL and the Major League Baseball, I think that over the last several years, I think it all started with David Stern. The players have a tremendous amount of input with the commissioner, and the commissioner listens to what the key players in the leagues have to say. And, you know, I know a lot of people aren't big Chris Paul fans, and, you know, from what I've heard, he's not the greatest teammate in the world. But, you know, Chris Paul, I think, has been very active working with the commissioner and his lieutenants in this, and he's listening to what the other players have to say. And you know LeBron James is getting his 2 cents in.
Oh, absolutely. And those guys want to come back and they want to play. I just don't know why. I mean, at that point in time, and they haven't said about the bubble now, but I mean, if you have a situation where Disney World is open, what is the point of the bubble in July 31st if by that point Disney World is going to be already operating for 2 weeks? I mean, I don't understand the whole bubble concept at that point in time. I don't understand why you got to bring everybody to one central area. The other part, too, we talked about it yesterday. I mean, the NHL might have LA as one of their hub cities. I mean, Los Angeles just finally opened up restaurants and barbershops and salons today that they're going to hopefully do by next week. You're going to bring 14 or 12 NHL hockey teams over there? I just don't understand, you know, that far in advance. I know you got to plan things. I know you got to get things going, but I mean, the whole point of, I think, the bubble system that they've been putting in place is perfect for right now if you want to start like a lot of these European soccer leagues do. But at this point in time, if you're going to start late in August, I think they're missing out on a great opportunity for people to bring in the national audience that are craving sports. Because by the time they come back, they're going to be back with everybody else at the exact same time during a point that hopefully we're in even a better situation. People are going to be back at work. And I don't necessarily think there's going to be a giant craving for all the sports when all of a sudden you have all of them playing at the same time. And when you're never going to be in this situation again where you have every single sport playing at the exact same time in the month of August.
Braden, I think the bubble theory, I think it was good. You know, where we're at, you know, maybe even right now it'd be good, okay? But I think a month from now, 2 months from now, you can pop the bubble. I think a lot of these teams may end up back in their own arenas and in front of nobody is what I think. And the guys will have to travel around, or they may just have one spot on the West Coast and a spot on the East Coast. They bring all those teams together, and they do what they're going to do, however they're going to do it. And, again, that – I still don't exactly know what the NBA is looking to do. At least of all, I know now, I got a little idea what the NHL is planning on doing. When they're going to do it, I don't know. But least of all, they have a little bit more definitive plan than the NBA has right now. But I don't think those teams, you know what? I don't think those teams will end up down at Disney World at all when it's all said and done. That's what my thought is.
I don't think so either, Coach. I'm going to go back to what I've said a month ago. I think these two leagues are waiting and waiting it out, and the only reason why this date makes sense for the NBA and why it makes sense for the NHL, and they won't acknowledge it yet, but I'm sure they might acknowledge it by the end of June, maybe the early part of July, is I think they're holding out hope that they can have some type of capacity of fans in the stands. That is, to me, that's why this makes sense in terms of a July 31st start date. You play in your home arenas. By that time, who knows? And the only reason why I bring that up right now is because Texas has already decided they're opening up 25% of their outdoor stadiums for sporting events. That's already been, so you, it's not like it's out of the possibility that no state's going to do it. I mean, Texas has already done it. And the way that they're progressing and the way that Florida's pushing a lot of stuff and the way that some of these states are, think about it. In a matter of a month, whatever that those states started, all the other states started to follow. I mean, if Texas is already starting to open up places, and again, I think they're doing it because they're in a position that they can do it. I don't think California could do that right now. But if you get to a point 2 months from now where you have at least 25%, maybe 50% of venues being allowed open for sporting events, to me, that makes sense to the NBA to, one, play in their home markets, and two, wait that long to try to get some of their money back. That makes sense to me.
Let me throw this out. We've heard if baseball could ever get an agreement, they've talked about wanting to start between July 1st and July 4th. They would be the first team, you know, first teams back. And they could be kind of the guinea pig for the other NHL and NBA folks as well. They may want to see how it goes with baseball. And let's face it, the NBA, they never planned on playing in early July. Baseball came out and said that. And so I think the NHL and the NBA, they're probably saying, you know what, we'll let baseball come back. And if something goes awry, then, you know, we won't be lumped into that.
I think that's also a thing. I think, and I think the NHL is waiting for the NBA, and I think the NBA is waiting for baseball to figure out their financial decisions. Because again, like I've been saying for the last 2 months, there's no rush for the NBA and the NHL at this point. I mean, they still have time. As long as they get their season done by the end of August, and as tight as that offseason is potentially going to be, they still have time to get the playoffs in and finish that up. They're not as at risk for losing money because they've already played the majority of their schedule. And they can play inside in indoor arenas, and they can make things happen in terms of the way that they play their sport and the way they play their game. So they can get in the waiting period. The other part, again, I'm still convinced that they're waiting and holding out hope for some of these states to open up some capacity. Again, Texas only allowed outdoor stadiums. Who knows how long it's going to take for them to do indoor arenas? But I mean, if you're the Spurs, Mavericks, Rockets, I mean, you're all in potential eligible to host games with fans in the stands. Same thing with baseball. The Rangers and the Astros, I mean, they're technically retractable roof stadiums. I don't know if they count those as outdoors, but they're eligible to host people for opening day if it started tomorrow, technically. And then it comes down to, again, I don't know what these leagues are going to do state by state or if it's going to be a league-wide thing for all these leagues. There's a lot of things that need to be hashed out. But the only reason why July 31st makes sense to me in the NBA is if they're holding out hope that they can get some fans in for the playoffs. That's the only reason why it makes sense. Because to me, if they wanted to do the bubble system, they could have done it by now.
I wonder, Braden, you know, you're talking about Texas. And I mentioned earlier in the program, you know, Georgia, Texas, Florida, I'm kind of watching day-to-day what's going on down there. And they've all had, you know, really, really good success, even though a lot of people were kind of concerned on when they decided to pretty much open those states up. You know, I'm just wondering, like in Texas, if they're going to open it up to 25%, to fill the ballpark. I wonder about workers. I wonder how concerned the workers are going to be coming back and working at those ballparks right now. That there may be a percentage of workers that, you know, don't want to come out. And the other thing you got to remember, and we could say this at Petco Park, there are a lot of people that work at Petco Park that do an incredible job, but there are people that are, a lot of them are in their 70-year age bracket. I mean, they're 70-plus years. They come out and are trying to supplement their income. A lot of people that are in their 60s and 50s. I mean, it's an older group of people that work at a lot of these ballparks, and you got to kind of wonder if a lot of these folks may not be shying away from coming back to work at these ballparks.
And I don't think the teams will care if they shy away or not, to be honest with you, because if it's going to come down to making money in terms of having fans in the stands, they're going to find somebody that's going to do the job. I mean, as heartbreaking as that sounds, and as mean as that sounds, that's what it's going to come down to because, Coach, we know how money works, and we know how people care when it comes to money compared to other humans, and money usually wins that battle. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying they're going to find somebody to do it. They'll find somebody to do the job. I don't think it's going to hold up any of these leagues. I think it will hold up a lot of workers potentially from working. I think some people will go out and work and take the risk. I think some other people will be cautious, and that's their right to do. If you feel like you're in a position where you can't go out and work or you feel like it's going to be catastrophic for you to go out and put yourself in the public, I'm all for you staying home. I'm all for people being overly cautious and wearing masks and all that stuff because at the end of the day, you need to worry about yourself and you need to worry about your own family and not succumb to what pressures out there of you returning back to work if you don't feel comfortable doing so. I think that's everybody's right as an American to make that decision on their own. But to me, I think they're going to find somebody in order to get those things done. And again, we don't know what's going to happen in the next month or so. The one thing I'll say about Texas and just based on, the people I know that are there and the people I know that, have been interacting right now, they really didn't shut down too much as it is. So they've kind of been in this open phase. They've been like our open phase that we have here right now in California was basically what their strictest policy was. Nobody's wearing masks out there. Nobody's doing extra precautions that in California we need to do and I think we should do. So to me, if you see numbers in Texas right now, it's not like it's been a 2-week thing and we got to wait a couple more. I mean, these guys have been not really doing the whole social distance thing for a long time now, and they continue to put up good numbers. And I hope, again, I am an American, and I hope every state does the best job that they can in saving as many lives as possible. And I'm rooting for success for everybody. And if some of these states didn't need to shut down, then they didn't need to shut down. California, we have a lot more big of a population. So you can't necessarily argue that much that we need to be as open as Texas, because I don't think we do. But I like the way things are trending in some of these open states, and the fact that they're open and we're not having catastrophic failures right now, I think is a really good sign.
A lot to get done between now and 3 o'clock. We got Barbara Breed from the City Council coming on talking about the unanimous vote this morning. The City Council voted to move ahead with the sale to San Diego State. A couple of other hurdles, though, yet to come in the month of June before they can get it into escrow. But hopefully that'll happen in July, and San Diego State can take over in August. Also want to remind everyone, I want to thank Panera Bread for being a great contributor to our program. They donate those $50 Panera Bread gift cards each and every day on our program. And also want to remind you that Panera Bread, they're there for you with contactless delivery and new drive-up curbside ordering and pickup. You can order online at PaneraBread.com. When we come back, great segment ahead. Stay with us. The 10 biggest MLB draft busts of the past decade. This is the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Hi, this is Coach John Quintero from the John Quintero Show. All of us have had our lives disrupted, and we're trying to get used to the new normal. If you're working from home, use your smart speaker to listen to The Fan. Ask Alexa to play 97.3 The Fan on radio.com so you can stay connected to your favorite shows on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
97.3 The Fan is helping San Diego stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
Hey, Coach John Quintero here for my friends at ASAP Drain Guys and Plumbing. And boy, I'll tell you what, you're not going to find a better company and guys that really care about their clients. Tracy, the owner, James, his right-hand man, absolutely fantastic. And the thing that I love, right when things were getting rough for us and people were starting to shut down, they took the time to sit down with their staff, talk about what they needed to get done, take all the necessary precautions for you and your family when they come out. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, give them a call today. Don't wait until Monday. Give them a call today. Even if you don't have a leaky faucet or a clogged drain or any type of plumbing problem, give them a call today. Why? Because they want to offer you a free water heater and a drain check. A free water heater and a drain check. That's right. 844-921-3626. Give them a call. call, 844-921-3626. You can also check them out online at asapdrainandplumbing.com. Hey, remember, they've been in business since 2001. They got 35 trucks rolling all over San Diego. There's nobody better, and believe me, they really do care, and they want to do an A++ job for you. Give them a call at 844-921-3626, and make sure when you call, tell them. At 2:22, the time, we got Barbara Bree coming up here in about 10 minutes from the city council. They voted unanimously today to move forward on the sale to San Diego State. Still a couple of hurdles to climb for the city council and for San Diego State, but we'll keep you up to date on that. And I also want to remind everyone, you can stay connected with your friends here at 97.3 The Fan while we keep a social distance by joining us for a live video session on Twitter at 97.3 The Fan SD. Ben and Woods will be on Twitter on Monday right after their show at 9:15. I do mine on Wednesdays at 11:15, and Gwen and Chris Fridays at 2:15. Again, 97.3 The Fan is helping San Diego stay connected. For more info, go to radio.com/stayconnected so we all stay connected on 97.3 The Fan. Okay, let's get back to the phones. Everybody's got an opinion on who's the biggest jerk you've met that was a pro athlete. Our phone number, 833-288-0973. Let's go up to Vista. Andy, welcome to 97.3 The Fan. How you doing today? Hey, Andy, you there? Oh, I think we lost Andy. Let's get to Matt and La Mesa. Matt, you're next up with Coach John Cantara. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. What's going on, Coach?
Hey, doing
I
well
like
today.
Yourself.
Thanks for the call.
I, like yourself, was ecstatic when I saw the news this morning that said that the city council got its act together and okayed the sale of the land for San Diego State, because I got to tell you, I've been in this city 53 years, and this is not really a sports city like it is in other cities. But that being said, at least we're going in the right direction, so let's fire up the wrecking ball and get San Diego State West built.
I can't wait to be able to walk into that first game at that stadium. I'm very excited about it, whether it's going to be 35,000 or they decide to make it even a little bit bigger. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm going to be excited at 35,000, but I would be even more ecstatic if it was 50 to 55. That way, then you could really work on trying to get an NFL team here.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the way I look at it. But, you know, we're going to be talking with Barbara Bree, and I give Barbara a lot of credit. I mean, she's a lady that's, you know, got elected in 2016. Really, if people look into her background, I mean, she's had an incredible life, and what she's done as an entrepreneur, and, you know, she's got a vision. She didn't grow up in politics. And she sees the big picture rather than the narrow picture of just being involved with city government. And, you know, I don't know how she'll do in the mayoral race, but I'll tell you what, she's been kind of a breath of fresh air for me.
Yeah, I would absolutely vote for her. And I was thoroughly impressed with your interview with her. I think it was yesterday or the day before.
Well, we had her on last week. We had her on prior to this meeting.
Okay, well, just her knowledge of this situation and all the intricate weaving that goes into having something like this happen, she's definitely got her ducks in a row, and I'm glad she was able to convince the city council likewise.
Yeah, and Matt, we're going to be hearing from Barbara here in about 10 minutes, so make sure you stay close to your radio. I thank you so much for the phone call. Have a great weekend.
You too, Coach. Take care.
All right, good stuff. You know, if you look up, and I know Barbara just a little bit. As she mentioned in the interview, I coached her daughter once upon a time, you know, a long, long time ago. Her daughter's now 38 years of age. But the situation is, you know, she graduated from the University of Pennsylvania and then got her master's degree from Harvard. How about that? Let's go up to Rancho Bernardo. Scott, you're on with Coach John Cantara. Welcome to the program today, Scott. How are you?
Fantastic, Coach. Always great listening to you and enjoying your time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You want to weigh in on the biggest jerk you've met as a pro athlete?
Yeah. I talked to you about I was at San Diego School of Baseball as a kid in the late 70s, early 80s. And Freddie Kendall was the first baseman they had him out there as a first baseman. And you, even at 16, I could tell he had a rough night the night before. He wasn't shaven. His eyes were bloodshot. And so we did. We were doing pickoff as a pitcher, but you would rotate as a runner. So I dived it back in, and he's taking the ball and just sweeping it down with his glove and crunching my hand. So much so that my pinky was just swollen as all get up. So I kind of looked at him. I said, hey, you know, go a little softer. He goes, kid, this is baseball. And I thought, what a jerk.
Well, he so was that, out that's the night before. Story. He said he maybe had a long night. Hell, Randy Jones may have been out with him that night. Him and Randy are big friends.
Well, that was back in the day. Randy was in camp. Randy, Flannery, a bunch of the Padres were in camp. But I got to tell you, though, I really struggled to come up because most athletes, and I've had the pleasure of meeting quite a few, are really good people. And so I struggled to come up with a name, but then I remembered Freddie Kendall.
Hey, you know, I'll tell you, I met Freddie a number of years ago when he was a coach with the Colorado Rockies. Randy took me down, and I met him and Toby Hera that night. And I got to be honest, you know, I can only go on what I know. And, you know, it's different back when a guy's playing and the guys can get a little crusty. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, Freddie was really a pretty cool guy to me. But, again, Randy was the one introducing me. But, you know, I think overall, I think Fred's actually a pretty good guy. You may have got him when he was hung over and a little bit fatigued.
I guarantee you I did. You know, because those were early mornings. You got out there at Grossmont College at like 7:30 in the morning. So
I can only imagine. Hey, Scott, I appreciate you sharing that story. Good stuff.
You bet. Take care.
All right, you take care. Hey, we got a couple of minutes before we're going to take a break. I really want to get to this segment right now, and it's the 10 biggest MLB draft busts of the past decade, Braden, and some interesting names on this list. And I mentioned earlier, the one guy that kind of tops this list is a kid out of Stanford by the name of Mark Appel.
That's right. Mark Appel is first on the list, the first draft pick overall in 2013 by the Houston Astros.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, take us through that. I think fans will remember a lot of these names.
Bubba Starling, Kansas City Royals, fifth overall in 2011. Danny Holdson, Seattle Mariners, second overall in 2011. Brady Aiken, the Cathedral Catholic product, first overall in 2014, the Houston Astros. Tyler Kolek, the Miami Marlins, second overall 2014. Christian Colon, Kansas City Royals, fourth overall 2010. Trey Bell, Arbol, Boston Red Sox, seventh overall 2013. Michael Choice, Oakland A's, 10th overall 2010. Cornelius Randolph, Philadelphia Phillies, 10th overall 2015. And Barrett Lux of the Arizona Diamondbacks, sixth overall in 2010.
You know, and I know he had Tommy John surgery, but Brady Aiken just, he hasn't really been able to get it going in pro ball. I'm a little surprised. Boy, he had great stuff coming out of high school.
Yeah, I know Brady. I played with him, and he, you know, he's still battling some injuries and still trying to work his way back. And it's been a long recovery process for him, and it's been tough for him to come back and get through it. And he's you know, one of the most positive kids I've ever you know, interacted with. So he's still pushing forward. He's working hard. He's working out. Obviously, this COVID-19 thing probably put a hamper on, you know, his development a little bit. But you know, he's really making a push and working his ass off for the Cleveland Indians organization right now to try to get back.
Yeah, I really wish him the best of luck. I remember years ago, before he got drafted, he actually came into the studio one night, and we had a nice interview with him a number of years ago. But wish him the very, very best. I see his dad around town every once in a while, but some interesting names on there. But, you know, Brady's still very young in his career, and he has battled those injuries, and hopefully he'll be able to toe the slab in a big league ball game here in the not-too-distant future. Good stuff, Braden. We're going to get to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Barbara Bree from the San Diego City Council. We'll talk about what happened this morning, where the City Council unanimously voted to move forward with the sale to San Diego State. Stay with us. We're going to the top of the hour. It'll be Gwen and Chris right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. About 2:36, the time, Coach Jacquetter, at the top of the hour will be Gwen and Chris, and they'll continue to talk about the excitement here in San Diego. I'm very excited about this. The City Council today unanimously voted to move ahead with the sale to San Diego State. Still a couple of hurdles to get over. Hopefully in June they get over them. They can get the sale done in July, and hopefully San Diego State can get a shovel in the ground come August. But a lady that I think a lot of people are really finding out what she's all about. She's done an incredible job in the very short time she's been on the San Diego City Council representing District 1. Our friend Barbara Breed joined us on her SDCCU fan hotline. And Barbara, thanks so much for the time. I know you're extremely busy. But thank you very much for the time to kind of share what went on this morning in that emergency city council meeting.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me. This is a great day for San Diego. It's a day I'm going to remember for the rest of my life.
Talk a little bit about, Barbara, you know, how you guys started right around 10 o'clock this morning. I know you probably talked in the last couple of days leading up to this meeting, but what was the conversation like this morning? And it seemed like you guys got to the vote fairly quickly.
Yes, actually, this is the first time we've, as a council, talked in public about a almost finished purchase and sale agreement. And as you mentioned, it was a unanimous vote. The meeting was actually less than 2 hours. Including public testimony. There still are some more steps in the process. We have to meet twice in June to approve a final ordinance. Then the mayor needs to sign the agreement. Of course, the chancellor of the CSU system has to sign it. And hopefully the transaction will close by the end of July.
Barbara, once you get by the city council and they voted unanimously, I mean, what's the percentage or what's the history behind what the city council votes for and having to get through those next couple of steps? Is it normally pretty easy or has it become very difficult?
There's lawyers involved, and when lawyers are involved, you know, you never know, and there's highly paid consultants, but I'm optimistic that everyone understands the importance of this transaction for the future of our city. SDSU is going to build a multi-purpose stadium for Aztec football and maybe someday professional soccer and maybe even someday professional football. It's going to expand their campus and allow them to offer educational opportunities for up to 15,000 more students. And we're also going to get a beautiful river park. So I'm very proud that I was the first elected official to support SDSU West, and I think many of your listeners may know I was the first to oppose a competing ballot measure, Soccer City.
We're visiting with Barbara Bree from the San Diego City Council, again, unanimously voting today to move forward with the sale to San Diego State from the city to be able to get that brand new stadium and all the things that go with it. You know, just looking at the renderings, and I'm sure you've taken a good hard look at that and know all the little ins and outs of it, but boy, that's going to be really cool, not only for football fans and for sports fans, but I think it's going to be great for families with a hotel down there, retail store. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be beautiful. And just imagine game day at the stadium. It's going to be great. You're going to be able to have a picnic before or after you go to the game.
Hey, let me ask you this. When you guys meet, can you kind of, and I know I don't want you to give away any, big secrets or you're not supposed to give out, publicly from the meeting and that, but how did the meeting go, actually? How did it start, and how did you guys end up getting to the vote so quickly?
So, I mean, the meeting is a public meeting. People could watch it on their television or on their computer, and the tape is available. I think by now everybody realized that both sides had, negotiated, each side given up some things, gotten some things. That's part of what you do when you're negotiating, and that this was a fair transaction for both the city and San Diego State, and that it was time to get to a conclusion. And let's remember, these are both two public entities. These are both organizations that are taxpayer supported, that care about the residents of San Diego. So at the end of the day, we should be partners in working together.
Barbara Bree from the San Diego City Council running for mayor in November. I got to ask you this. Now that you got this, and I realize a couple of more votes have to, go along and get it to escrow, and then, the San Diego State be able to take it over and get that shovel in the ground hopefully as early as August, because they still plan on trying to play there in early September of 2022. We'll see how that works out. What's your next project while you're a city council member working towards November?
So one of the things I'm working, I chair the budget committee, and so we will be voting on the final budget in June. It's been a priority for me to make sure that our park and rec centers are open 60 hours a week, that our libraries are open 7 days a week. In the current version of the budget, the libraries are only open 5 days a week. They're closed Sunday and Monday. And it's also a priority of mine to make sure we have funding for the lakes and the reservoirs so residents can go hunting and fishing on these beautiful places that we have.
You know, Barbara, I got to say, you know, you were on, I think it was a week ago, Wednesday. And that night, I know you'd gone on some other shows later in the day and there was some TV stuff. But, boy, after you, it seemed like you were on with my show on that Wednesday. Boy, this whole story about this stadium really sprouted legs. And it seemed like you'd gotten out there in front of it and were letting people know what was going on. And all of a sudden, you know, the next day, they decided to hold this emergency meeting that was announced. And then you guys had that today. But it really seemed like there had been a pretty good groundswell of support from that Wednesday moving forward at today's meeting.
I think public pressure is always important. It's important for city council members and city officials to remember that we work for you. You're the voters. You pay the taxes. We work for you. You passed Measure G, SDSU West, and it was our responsibility to get it done.
And, again, could you, just for our listeners maybe just tuning in, what are the other two steps you got to go through now with San Diego State?
So today we approved in concept a purchase and sale agreement, and we gave some more feedback to the city attorney on a few items. And so on June 9th, the goal is to vote on a final purchase and sale agreement. And then under the rules of the council, we have to vote on an ordinance twice. We always do a second reading. So June 9th would be the first vote. June 23rd, 2 weeks later, would be the second vote. And then we have to wait 30 days before the mayor can sign the agreement. And, of course, the chancellor of the CSU system has to also sign the agreement.
So we're looking at maybe the mayor, Kevin Faulkner, and the chancellor signing it. Hopefully the target date will be about July 23rd.
Right. That's what we're shooting for. Exactly. And it will, so and the city's going to get $88 million.
Oh, that's great. Hey, anything else you'd like to get out there today while I have you on the line?
I'd just like to thank your listeners for contacting the mayor and their council members to tell them how important it was to get this transaction done. I'm excited. I hope I get invited to the groundbreaking. I'm a mom and a grandma. My grandkids are now 5, 3, and 1, and I'm excited to hopefully take them to some games and to a beautiful river park in a few years.
And I'll wish you the best of luck right now. I know we'll have you on prior to that, but best of luck in your campaign for mayor. I think over the last week, if people didn't know who Barbara Bree was, they found out, and you've probably gotten a lot of votes here in the last week. I would certainly think that is the case.
Well, thank you. I think you know, John, I'm not a career politician. I was a tech entrepreneur and journalist before running for public office, and my goal is to serve the residents of our city and to do it in an accountable and transparent way, not behind closed doors.
I appreciate the time, Barbara. Thanks so much. I know you're extremely busy, and thanks again, and we'll look forward to having you on the program down the road.
Thank you. Have a great day.
There you go. Barbara Bree, District 1 city council member, getting the flat-out job done. I'm so excited about this new stadium. And again, there are a couple of things you mentioned. They got a vote on June 9th and another one on June 23rd that would solidify the sale to San Diego State. And then on July 23rd, the mayor and the chancellor would have to sign the contract and move forward in San Diego State to get that thing done. You know, the renderings of this stadium are absolutely fantastic, but the thing that I'm excited about is the 400-room hotel. And I know they're going to have a lot of housing down there. They're going to have retail stores. They're going to have the parks. It's going to be really, really cool. And believe me, this is exactly what the doctor ordered for San Diego for the sports fans. And like I said, when I came on the air earlier today, I wonder what Dean Spanos is thinking. I'm wondering what Dean Spanos is thinking right now. For $88 million, he could have purchased that land, and maybe they wouldn't have offered it to him back then. Maybe it would have been more money. Yeah, he'd have to build his own stadium, but, man, he's going to have to rent the stadium up there from Mr. Kroenke. Boy, that just doesn't make sense. The only way the move of the Chargers from San Diego to L.A. makes sense to me because they're never going to be one of the upper echelon teams in L.A. They could win three Super Bowls in a row, and they're not going to increase their fan base by a whole lot because the Lakers and the Dodgers are going to always own that fan base up there. And the Rams, because they were up there for a number of years. Rams are having their own problems right now, to be honest with you. But they could win three Super Bowls in a row, and it's not going to matter. The only way it will ever work out for Dean Spanos is if he decides to sell the franchise. And I don't see him doing that anytime soon. I just don't see that. He's got two boys that are very much involved with the franchise. I just don't see him doing that at all. Okay, we want to get back to your phone calls. If you're out there, who's the biggest jerk you've met that was a pro athlete? We've had some interesting names today, some interesting names. I wouldn't have expected Fred Kendall. But, hey, Fred Kendall, maybe a rough day, man. Everybody has a rough day. Some guys are good guys and they just have a bad day. There's other guys that are just turds, like Danny Jackson, the guy that I mentioned earlier who briefly pitched for the Padres. Total jerk. And if you missed it, I was so upset with this guy. I asked him for an interview and he blew me off. And it wasn't so much that he blew me off. It was the way he did it and just the attitude. And that's when Tony said, hey, what's wrong, Coach? And I said, Danny Jackson's being a and I started it with a D and ended it with a K. And he goes, don't worry, he won't be here very long. And he wasn't here very long. For Danny Jackson followers out there, he was traded to the Padres on June 13th, 1997, with Rich Batchelor and Mark Sweeney and Danny Jackson. What's interesting, and I'll give Sweeney a little credit, Sweeney ended up being the key guy in this deal. I mean, he played in 71 games that year for the Padres after he came over from St. Louis, and in 103 at-bats, Mark hit 320 that year. Couple of homers, 19 RBIs. Rich Batchelor, who came with Sweeney and Jackson that deal, he pitched in 13 games. He went 2-0, but had a 7.82 ERA and was out of baseball. Never pitched in the big leagues after the 1997 season. Went 2-0 after being traded from the Cardinals to the Padres with a 7.82. Never made it back to the big leagues. And Danny Jackson, who had a really good career, 13 games, 9 starts, 1-7 with San Diego, and a 7.53 ERA. How about this? 49 innings he pitched that year for the Padres, and he gave up 72 hits. I mean, they were rattling balls all over the yard off of this guy. And I'll never forget Tony Gwynn. When I said, he goes, Coach, well, what's the matter? And I go, Danny Jackson's started with a D and ended with a K. He goes, don't worry about it. He goes, he's not going to be around here that long. And he wasn't. He lasted less than 2 months with the Padres. His last game in the big leagues after being traded to the Padres on June 13, 1997, was his last game on August 7, 1997. 4 innings, 6 hits, and 4 earned runs, and that was the end of his career. Had a good career, though. 112 and 131. Gave ground the last few years. Probably hung around a little bit too long and finished with a 4.01 ERA, but made a couple of All-Star games. And also was a 2-time World Series champion. But Danny Jackson, biggest jerk I dealt with in my career here in San Diego. Braden, a lot of good things today out of Barbara Bree. Really excited about her leadership. And the thing that I like about her is that she doesn't have looking down just straight down a hallway. She's got broad vision because she's worked in the outside world.
Anybody that's a politician in San Diego has vision, I'm all for, because it seems we've been lacking that for the last 25 years of my life, with the exception of maybe probably Jerry Sanders. I thought he did a pretty good job too. But I mean, the fact of the matter, this is something that's a long time coming that San Diego's needed, regardless if it's San Diego State owned or whoever. That land needs to be redeveloped. It's a waste of money sitting there. The stadium is rotting. I mean, it looks like the Roman Coliseum at certain points. And everybody I've talked to that's been to different stadiums around the country know that this one is arguably one of the worst in all of sports and in all of other venues as well. I can't wait for a new stadium here in San Diego. Hopefully I can't wait for a groundbreaking ceremony at any point, because at that point in time I can breathe a big sigh of relief and, all right, at least they're starting something here to a certain extent. At least you get something started. I think it would put a lot of minds at ease, especially since you got a couple more hurdles to get over right now for San Diego in trying to get this stadium built. But at least you can start it, and I think today was a big hurdle that they overcame.
You know, Braden, I look at the stadium, and we keep talking about 35,000-seat stadium. See, I think that's perfect for San Diego State, okay? I think that for them it's perfect. I think for soccer it would be perfect. But I think it also takes away our opportunity to find a way to get an NFL team. And Barbara Brees said last time she was on our program, when I asked her, I go, if you become mayor, would you work on trying to recruit an NFL franchise? She said, most definitely. Well, it's going to be hard to recruit an NFL franchise if the stadium's only 35,000 seats, even though San Diego State saying, when we built this thing for 35,000, we're going to have the ability to increase it to 50-plus thousand. Man, you know what? Let's do it right off the get-go rather than having to, you know, do more construction 3 years or 4 years down the road.
Right. I'd be all in favor of that, too. My university did the same thing. They built their new stadium and made it expandable, and they just finished their expansion, you know, a couple weeks ago, as a matter of fact. But that's something that they got to do. If they want to, you know, put all the money forward and do it now, make it easy to add, you know, seats to this place and make it easy to do, you know, and hopefully in a quick manner and not something they got to shut the place down in order to do it. You're San Diego State, you got to put in the plans to make it do that. And then if somebody wants to come in and use the place and be like, hey, you can upgrade the stadium and then you can, you know, have, you know, and sell off some of the land or do whatever you want to do. But the fact that they own that land, I think it's going to work out for San Diego State. Again, I think 35,000 seats is perfect for San Diego State, but I don't think it's good for San Diego.
No, I think it'd be really cool. I mean, and I would be all for this. I mean, San Diego State's playing a game, you know, against Boise State or really whoever. You just want to go to a college football game. It's going to be a much better college football environment, a 35,000-seat stadium or whatever, because it's going to be San Diego State Stadium. They're not going to be playing in the Chargers' old stadium. They're going to be playing in their stadium. They're going to have all their colors and all the marketing and all their advertisers up. I mean, it's going to be a quaint stadium, no question about it. Whether it's 35 or 50,000, but I think it'll be really cool to, you know, go down there, you know, maybe check into the hotel at 12 o'clock, maybe for a 5 o'clock kickoff, or hopefully not a 7:30 kickoff because it's on TV, but you know, a 5 o'clock kickoff, you check in, you go get a little something to eat, you head over to the stadium, and then after the ball game, you go over, meet your family or friends and have a good get together, spend the night, you get in your car in the morning and drive home. I think that'll be really cool.
I think it'd be really cool, too, and I think not only does it make it more enticing for recruiting, and I think it's going to drastically help San Diego State's recruiting efforts, but I think by the time they do any type of reconstruction of conferences down the road, which is probably going to happen when the next deal is done, it makes them more enticing to get picked up by a big conference, and whether or not they can make that happen or not, at least you know, they're putting their best foot forward in that terms as well.
We got a lot to cover, and we'll do that again on Monday. Again, we're going to have John Maffey on. We're going to talk about the MLB draft, the players available for Padres, and who else could be from San Diego. We got a lot to get to on Monday. I hope everyone has a great weekend. And, Braden, I'd have to say we had an awful good week. I mean, we had a lot of great guests and a lot of great phone calls this week.
Great week this week, Coach. I'm looking forward to next week.
All right, we're going to get out of here, and I want to wish everyone a very safe weekend. And again, we'll be back in on Monday at 12 o'clock. Until then, for Braden Suprenant, this is Coach John Cacera. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Bye-bye.
Thanks for downloading the John Cacera Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.